Welcome to Valuation Blueprint, a podcast dedicated to practical conversations about what really drives business value. So when you're looking at a deal, here's a simple question. Is inventory included in the value of the business, or is it added on top? Same question. What about working capital? Does it transfer with the business, or does the seller keep it? Now, if you've ever asked three different professionals these questions and received three different answers, you are not crazy. You are not alone. This is one of the most misunderstood areas of deal structure, especially when it comes to small and lower middle market transactions. Today, we're going to try to simplify it for you. We're going to define inventory. We're going to define working capital. And then we're going to answer the real question. When is it included? And how do you treat them when it comes to deal structure? Welcome to the Valuation Blueprint. My name is Darren Mize. I'm with GCF Valuation. This show is for M&A advisors, SBA lenders, and buyers and sellers who want clarity around how value actually works in the real world. And today, our topic is inventory and working capital. You could even add furniture, fixtures, and equipment into this discussion as well. Similar asset, same concept, same function, really. But inventory and working capital seem to be the two topics that people ask us the most, and we wanted to address it here. What we're going to do is tell you what they really are and how are they relevant to value and how they should be treated in a transaction. So before we get into deal structure, let's define these assets themselves, and we're going to start with inventory. What is it and how is it relevant to value? I think the second question is really the more important component of this discussion. I mean, inventory is inventory. If you're a retail shop, you have stuff on the shelves that you sell. If you make things, you've got parts and supplies sitting in your warehouse that allows you to build those items that you sell. But at the end of the day, inventory is really a core asset of an operating business. It is what allows a company to sell its products and services. It allows the company to generate revenue. So inventory has a direct line to revenue. Revenue produces gross profit. After expenses are normalized, that produces cash flow. And that, my friend, is what drives value. Now, from a transactional standpoint, we typically separate inventory into two categories: operating inventory and excess or obsolete inventory. We call that non-operating inventory. It's operating inventory that we're most concerned with. This is what the business reasonably needs to support its current level of sales. Usually inventory that turns with a normal operating cycle, whether that be on a monthly, quarterly, or annual basis. I say anything that you can use and reasonably sell within a 12-month period, so an annual cycle, is what I would consider to be operating inventory. Excess or obsolete inventory is inventory that is either slow moving, outdated, or not required to maintain the current revenue stream. So it's excess. That distinction matters because operating inventory is part of what makes your cash flow possible. Cash flow either being discretionary earnings or EBITDA. Excess inventory, not required at all, completely separate. So when you look at operating inventory versus non-operating inventory, that's really how you separate the two. One you're going to use and include, the other you're not. Now, working capital, a little bit of a different animal, a little bit more complex. So let's try to break it down into something a little bit more simplistic for you to help understand and remember. So working capital in its simplest form, simply current assets minus current liabilities. In transactions, like we do with inventory, we like to focus on what we call operating working capital. And operating working capital typically includes accounts receivable plus inventory minus accounts payable. Now, there are probably a variety of variations of this calculation. Some people are going to factor in some additional assets. Some are going to factor in some accrued expenses. That's the plus and the minus on the calculation side of the equation. Typically, cash and debt are going to be excluded. Some say cash is part of working capital. I would tell you cash is a byproduct of revenue. If you don't have revenue, you don't have sales, then you don't have working capital. So You know, working capital is what we're talking about here. In practical terms, working capital represents the liquidity required to keep the business running on a going concern. It's the fuel that supports the engine that generates your cash flow. So just like operating inventory, working capital serves the same function. It allows you to operate so that you can generate your cash flow, which then generates your value. So in looking back at these two assets, both are treated the same. One is physical, one is more liquidity based, but both on an operating format are assets that allow you to generate your cash flow, which then generates your value. If you can remember that, it's pretty simple, because this really leads to the next question, which is how are you going to treat them when it comes to a transaction? So that brings us to the segment of our show that we call frame of reference. This is where we step back from definitions and mechanics and valuation theory and look at how these concepts actually play out in real transactions. Because valuation isn't just about theory, it's about structure, negotiation, expectations, and in some cases, even disputes. In this segment, we take a common point of confusion and anchor it in real world logic. Now, this is going to shift from one episode to the next. Sometimes they'll be short, sometimes they'll be long. Now, in this particular segment, we're going to stick with the topic at hand, working capital and inventory. And today's question is something that we get on a regular basis, week to week, month to month. I mean, we've been doing this for almost 30 years. And I'm telling you, this is one of the most common questions we get on a day-to-day basis, not only from our M&A advisors, but also from our lenders. That question is, when it comes to inventory, is it included in the value of the business or is it added? Same thing, when it comes to working capital, does it transfer with the business or is it separate? The short answer is, it depends. Rough answer, I know, it's gray, but it's not random. There are rules that go along with this. And really here's the guiding principle when you look at this. If the business needs the asset to operate at its current level, it's part of the deal. If it doesn't, you can treat it separately. If you just remember that as you go into a deal structure that is considering these two assets, I think you'll get some good value out of this discussion. Now, when it comes to inventory, operating inventory, unless specifically stated, is always going to be included in the value of the business. As we covered earlier, it's a necessary component of the operating engine that generates your cash flow, which then generates your value. So when you consider the idea that a buyer is buying a functioning operation and it requires inventory to produce revenue on day one, that's why it's part of the deal, right? Why this is so simple, but yet some people struggle with it, is hard to understand. Inventory as an operating asset generates revenue, which generates cash flow, which generates value. That's it. Excess or obsolete inventory, negotiate it separately. In some cases, the seller can retain it. In others, it's added on top and is at an agreed upon value. Either way, you've got that choice. Now, we work with some clients, primarily M&A advisors, who like to use a multiple of cash flow plus inventory approach. It's not something I really like to do, but people like to use it. And so my guidance on that is make sure that the implied transaction multiple still makes sense when you are reviewing the total conclusion of value. So if you're multiplying cash flow by a number and then adding inventory to it, make sure that that valuation conclusion in total divided by your cash flow represents a multiple that makes sense. For discretionary earnings, anything above 3.3, and you're probably wanting to go back and take another look at that, because if you go beyond that, you're probably going to overprice the value of the business. Anything beyond 6x EBITDA, again, I'd go back and take another look. Doesn't mean that you can't, just saying that you're stretching the limit on value at that point, and you may want to go back and take a look at your calculation. The value's got to make sense before you can sell. Now, same concept when it comes to working capital. Working capital is often where confusion increases. The reason why, in larger transactions, operating working capital is assumed to transfer with the business at a normalized level. In smaller transactions, particularly traditional Main Street deals, working capital has historically been less defined. It's really something that most people have not paid too much attention to. However, lately, a lot of M&A advisors and lenders are starting to get into that lower middle market transaction phase in space, and they're beginning to see how different people treat working capital. And that's causing a great deal of confusion. And a lot of these deals are falling apart because nobody truly knows how to use it. Nobody truly understands how to incorporate it or whether it should be incorporated or not. The key here is relevance. In manufacturing and distribution businesses, for example, they typically have longer cash cycles. They're lower margin companies. Lower margin companies are tight on cash and tight on liquidity. So when you have a situation that businesses are operating under like that, working capital is a critical component and usually is going to be included as part of the operating structure. It's got to be part of the deal. Now, when it comes to things like service businesses, high margin, high liquidity type businesses, plenty of cash to go around. You know, you've got stronger margins, faster billing cycles, working capital may be less significant, and in some cases negotiated separately. It's completely up to you, but you have to be able to look at these businesses independently of one another to determine whether or not working capital is even something that you need to consider. I will say that there's nothing wrong with getting a working capital analysis. It's something that our company, GCF Valuation, offers. If you have any interest in that at all, go to gvalue.com, click on the Contact Us button, and you can ask some questions there. But here's the thing. The principle remains consistent. If the business requires it to generate your cash flow, it belongs in the deal. Plain and simple. If it doesn't, set it aside, negotiate it separately, do whatever you want with it. Inventory and working capital aren't just accounting concepts. They're deal structure components. If the business needs it to run, it belongs there. It belongs in the transaction. If it doesn't, you can treat it as excess and negotiate it separately. These are principles that hopefully you can remember and abide by as you get into other deals you may be working on in the future. And hopefully something from this conversation can guide you in the right direction so that these two assets don't cause you any trouble, especially if you get to a point where you're at the closing table. You want to make sure that you know how to treat these two assets adequately. This is the Valuation Blueprint. My name is Darren Mize. Thanks for listening. And until next time, let's keep small business moving.
Thanks for joining us on Valuation Blueprint. For more expert analysis on what drives business value, visit gvalue.com.